This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bottles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you better run. Yeah,
it's an earthquake.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. I'll just tell you right now, the one story you've been waiting for involves the very controversial ranking of Little Debbie products. That Little Debbie herself has ranked her own products. And we think there is a Little Debbie. Is that what we believe there is a Little Debbie?
I think there was a Little Debbie at once upon a time.
Was there a Little Debbie? There was a Wendy.
There was a Wendy.
There was a Wendy.
There was indeed.
There was no Chick, as in Chick-fil-A.
That is true.
But anyways, I suspect there was. Someone had a Little Debbie once who probably grew up into a Big Debbie, and I bet is deceased. So it probably wasn't Debbie doing the rankings herself.
Maybe Big, we might want to.
She probably became Big Debbie.
Yes, in a lot of ways.
Well, A, she's American, so we all became big versions of ourselves.
Our portion sizes are not small.
Our own personal portion sizes are large. So she probably became Big Debbie. But anyway, Little Debbie released rankings of her products, and controversy has... I have to say, the Legends tier features one of my own personal favorite snacks. I have it very often, but whenever I have it, I think it's absolutely delicious. So, having moved on from chicken...
Here you go. Yeah, in the 1960s, company's founders O.D. and Ruth McKee...
Only in the 1960s?
Correct. Decided
to name... I would have thought the Little Debbie products were from the early 1900s, I guess. Decided to name what?
Name a product after one of their grandchildren, four-year-old Debbie. The original image of Debbie used on packaging and advertising was based on a black and white photo. So, yes, indeed.
What happened to Debbie?
Let's see. Following instructions, she made the little girl look older, around 8 or 9.
Do we know? Did little Debbie grow up, and is she still alive in the midst of this? She might have done the ranking herself. If this is the 60s, she's my age. Little Debbie is my age.
Let's see.
Little Debbie was probably born in 1961, like I was.
She's there. You go.
Just my age.
So, do you want to take back your? She became Big Debbie.
No, I'm bigger than my version of myself too.
Okay,
but I'm littler than I was 2 years ago. I'll say that since I started running.
That
anyway,
we'll
get to this, ladies and gentlemen. We will get to this. Jason Smith is going to be joining us next. We'll talk to him about all manner of things. Chris Harrington will join us at 10:01. We'll talk to him about the NBA and the Grizzlies. We got complaints. Did you know we got complaints about I'm going to have you pick the games this weekend.
Okay.
Just to be warmed up, okay? Right. We'll do that at 10:20.
It's week zero for me, too.
People need some seed money.
Okay.
Right, exactly. People need some seed money. We're not going to do the full falderall,
sure,
whatever, but I do believe it is imperative for you to get
set the tone early.
Set the tone early. Right. I'm going to give you $1,000. I'm going to give you This is practice. I'm going to give you $1,000 before next week. I think you gave me back money last year. And
Made money last year.
Yeah, we made money last year. And so I'm prepared to invest again. The market, honestly, has been shaky lately. And so I think my money is safer with Jeffrey.
I'm going to
do that
Take that, CFAs.
There's all kinds of things that happened yesterday. D'Angelo Williams
good for him.
Gave money to the University of Memphis football program. They unveiled their video board. They got a four-star running back. There was the news that broke during just before our show about the Memphis Pro Day. All sorts of things happening. But I wanted to focus at the outset here. I think coaches are crazy.
Go on.
Hugh Freeze is going to be on with Jason and John, right? And I'm not saying Hugh Freeze is crazy. Is he now? What's his status? Is he back and fully?
He has been released from the hospital.
He has been released from the hospital. So is he coaching now?
The last update I saw from Chris Vanini said.
What happened with Hugh Freeze?
The story is that he.
What do you say the story is that?
I'm just reporting what the story says.
Okay.
The story says that he had been struggling with back issues. He then took some time off to seek treatment for back spasms. He then winds up having surgery for staph infection. And last Friday, he released that he was recovering from staph infection that was getting very aggressive, and he has been in recovery since, I think, Friday.
But he's not coaching.
As of right now, it says he has not returned to the team.
Well, that'll be an interesting interview. I look forward to listening to it.
Here it is. Liberty head football coach Hugh Freeze took another step toward returning to the field Wednesday afternoon when he was released from the University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville. Under the direction of his medical team, Freeze will not return to his office for another few days, but that will not keep the Flames first-year head coach from his duties to lead the team. Freeze is continuing his recovery process from back surgery and a related medical condition at the Fairfield Inn and Suites, which overlooks the Liberty University campus.
He's at the Fairfield Inn and Suites. He's getting his Marriott points.
That's indeed he is.
He's getting his Marriott points. Do you wish him well?
Define wish him well.
No, it seems that you define wish him well. In life, do you? Here's the truth
him.
is when they tweet out they're having Hugh Freeze on.
Yeah.
The jokes commence. Are you having the escorts too? Is he bringing his cell phone? They're not necessarily the, you know, belly laugh jokes, but
sure.
People make snarky remarks, right? Hugh Freeze is at this point, he is a. Particularly because he hasn't had a second act yet, right?
Yeah.
He's a walking punchline at this point, isn't he? Or not walking, he's a reclining punchline at this point.
Yeah, he's a recovering punchline, apparently.
He's a recovering punchline at this point. Hugh Freeze is, yeah, basically people's... I'm not saying I make jokes about him. I'm saying people make jokes about him. You say Hugh Freeze, people think escorts.
Correct.
Right?
Although, I don't know if they do.
Really?
I think some do, but I don't...
You don't think most do? You think most just think... football wizard?
No, I think a lot think...
what do Ole Miss fans think of him?
Very split. There's some that think he's a snake oil salesman that wrecked the program and didn't have to pay the price for it.
Yeah.
And then there are others that will say they would take him back tomorrow because they don't care what he did or didn't do. They went to a Sugar Bowl.
And if you put it to a poll among all... We are not going to do this because we don't just have a... concentrated number of Ole Miss fans. I'd like an Ole Miss fan poll. Would you like Hugh Freeze back as your head coach, yes or no?
I would say probably in that 70-30 range, maybe 65-25. I think most would say no.
Okay. How about do you, all things considered, was the Hugh Freeze tenure a success, yes or no?
Oh, that is a fascinating question. I'm going to say no because in the end, his...
I'm going to say what would they vote? That's not my question. My question is, what would most people vote?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say no, because in the end, he was directly responsible. They had a pretty popular brand about 6 or 7 years ago, and it's now completely been.
But didn't he take over a program that was?
I mean, every coach takes over a bad program.
No, it wasn't winless. That was Nutt took over.
Correct.
Nutt took over for the Orgeron. One win? Was it winless?
They finished 0-8.
Okay. So
Coach
0-8. And so then Nutt came over. He had some good years.
Correct. First
and then tailed off at the end. And
the truth is, Houston
he left. Here's the question.
Yeah.
Did Houston Nutt leave the program better than he found it? And the answer is yes.
Oh, no, better than he found it?
No, I'm sorry. Did Hugh Freeze leave it better than he found it?
No.
I think the answer is no. But in between, they reached some heights that they liked. They didn't went to the championship game, but they reached some heights that they liked.
Agreed. And the other thing with Houston Nutt is Houston Nutt did not leave like the top-end talent that Freeze left, but Houston Nutt left more SEC-caliber football players.
And he didn't leave NCAA problems.
And sure.
Right. So
He did kind of leave some.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, he left them. You're right. He was responsible for half of them, or a third of them, right?
Not a third, but he was responsible for some serious ones, yes. Okay. The ACT cheating.
Yep. So they combined on that. Anyway, I think coaches are – I think people are complicated is what I would say, and that I think coaches are complicated. I yesterday went out to Memphis football practice, and you know what struck me more than anything else?
What's that?
I should have given you the quote on this.
Mm-hmm.
Struck me more than anything else. And mind you, I haven't been out at football practice because I was away, right? I was in the Bahamas, and before that, I was taking my kid to college, et cetera. So it'd been a while mm-hmm. since I'd been out there. And what struck me was how gray Mike Norvell is. Like,
ooh.
Shiny gray. Like
Silver Fox?
Well, I'm not going to go Silver Fox, but yes. He was, and he was good humored when I asked. I said, are you grayer than you were when you started this job? And he like said, yes. I said, when did it start? He said, the first day. He said, thanks for asking me and pointing that out. I'm going to wear a hat from now on for these media sessions. That's what he said. Listen, I'm gray, so I don't consider it. And the truth of the matter is, my
distinguished.
Hair, I look better gray. Like, so I didn't mean it as any kind of an insult. I don't actually think, do you think gray is, people shouldn't be judged on their hair one way or another.
I disagree.
But do you, as a man.
I have one physical feature, Jeff.
Okay.
I have one.
Do you think, would men rather be gray or bald?
I think gray.
There are people, there are upsides. There are people who think bald is hot, and there are people who think gray is hot.
Yeah, but most guys can't.
Most guys vote. Okay, what percentage of bald people fight baldness versus gray fight grayness?
I would say.
Did most of us Grecian it up when we start going gray? I never did.
No.
Would you if you started getting some gray hair?
You have
some?
Yeah.
They have not had a significant impact yet. There's no gray.
I mean,
gray.
But if you can tell, compared to my friends, I probably have more gray hair than the average guy does at my age.
And do most men fight gray? What percentage of men?
I mean, maybe some do, but I would think it's more of like.
Less than 50% of men who start going gray.
I would say significantly less than
50. Less than 20%?
Yeah, I would think about 1 in 5 fight it because most guys, like salt and pepper is kind of a good look.
I think you're right. I don't think men tend to fight gray.
I think every guy, though, that every guy
Does
that goes
bald. Every guy
bald,
fight bald?
I think so.
Initially until they then embrace it?
Yeah, and then, yeah. I really do. Like, I really do.
Anyway, he's clearly gray. And you know what? If you stop and look at it, what's interesting is that everyone is picking this team to go undefeated, which is a little insane. I'll tell you why it's insane. They got a whole new coaching staff, and they've got two NFL, budding NFL possible stars or who are among the weapons that they lost. And everyone's picking them to go undefeated. I think it's kind of crazy. And I'm not saying they're not good. I just think if I'm Mike Norvell, I understand why he's gray.
Yeah.
He's got to replace Tony Pollard, he's got to replace Daryl Henderson, and he's got a whole new damn staff.
Listen, I don't know how to say this without it like coming off the wrong way, but we're in the nest here, so it's a trust tree, and I'm trusting you with this. I do not think enough people are acknowledging and celebrating the fact, like for instance, the fact that Memphis is a 6-point favorite, like that's never happened before. And I think there's this, I think there is this, in the Memphis fan base, I almost think there's like this taking for granted the football team. Like, I think that there's...
I think so, too. Like, and yeah, I mean, like, anyone who says that, well, now the next step for this football team is to start winning at the end of the year. The next step for the football team is to keep doing what they're doing. Like, yeah. If you could keep putting 45 points up a game, like, just keep doing what you're doing. Sooner or later, you'll win championship games, et cetera. But, like, to me, the test for this football team is to continue to have success because it's been unprecedented. And you're exactly right. That line is a sign of respect for the state of the Memphis program.
Yes.
And what's happening is they are assuming that Mike Norvell is just going to keep it going, right? They just assume, listen, he's going to figure it out. He's Mike Norvell. It's Memphis football. And they mean that in the most positive way possible. It's Memphis football. Of course they'll figure it out. Now they get the total benefit of the doubt, even though Tony Pollard's gone, even though Daryl Henderson's gone, even though half the staff is gone.
Yep.
And that's a good thing. That's a sign of respect for the program. But if you're Mike Norvell, who has to live up to that, you got white hair.
Yeah, it's a very stressful proposition.
I think it is. I think it is. And I think it's pretty clear. But I think coaches are freaking crazy. This is my larger point. And this has to do with two stories from the NFL that have been popping around. One is the Chicago Bears story, where the kickers, Matt Nagy, is just totally a lunatic.
Well, in fairness to him, he's probably going to hate kickers for the rest of his career.
Yes, but okay. So
I operate under the
fine, but he misses. So they misses a 43-yarder, costs them in the playoffs, right? Who the hell? Why does it become an obsession? He's like Captain Ahab and the whale.
Yes,
he literally
timely reference.
He has nine kickers come in, and he stops practice and kicks it from the parky spot.
Yep.
The parky spot. Like, instead of saying, it's just a kick, we're moving on, etc., he's obsessed by this, and he has every kicker, they stop practice, and they kick from 43 yards out. That's weird.
No, it's a football guy thing. Every true, hardcore football guy hates kickers.
Yes, but you don't. Football coaches know it's time to move on. You don't sit there and make it a bigger deal than it is.
They would move on if it were.
It would be like Marv Levy saying you're going to kick from the Norwood spot. That's insane.
Right, but Marv Levy, a little. I think Marv Levy.
He was less insane.
Yes.
Read other things.
Wasn't Marv Levy a veteran?
I don't know if he was a veteran. Might have been a veteran. He was clearly erudite.
With true football guys, for instance, if they would have lost the game like on a drop pass or some type of physical mistake that happened throughout the course of the game, I think then Nagy would be doing next play. But true football guys really don't think kickers are actually football players.
That's fine. It's still not productive. And that's what nine kickers were brought in. Here's Justin Yoon from Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. It's not efficient for the team to continually beat that one dead horse the whole time. You have to build a system of confidence for your kicker. I don't think how the Bears are running it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think he's freaking out of his mind. I think he's crazy. And then you have the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know the backstory to this. Kenny Stills he was anti the Jay-Z. He's one of the people who protested, and he was upset when Jay-Z struck the deal with the NFL over, he'd do halftime, but he'd also do social justice stuff on behalf of the NFL. And as he views it, and I think there's some reasonable, Jay-Z never reached out to Colin Kaepernick beforehand, right? And it was Colin Kaepernick who was the one who initiated this entire deal, and now who is getting rich off of it?
Jay-Z. Jay-Z's in the business of Jay-Z, and if people thought otherwise, then they've not been paying attention.
I can't weigh in on that. I got no idea.
He's very good at the business of Jay-Z, by the way.
I'm sure he's good at the business of Jay-Z. I don't know if this is authentic or not. I can't weigh in on that. I don't know enough about Jay-Z to weigh in on that. But I do know that Kenny Stills was one of the people, Dolphins receiver, who was one of the people who was and was upset by this, mm-hmm. that Jay-Z comes in and says it's time to move on from kneeling, whatever. And Kenny Stills is like, who the hell are you to say this? Like, we're the ones who stood up to the NFL, et cetera. Worth listening to, it seems to me. Well, however you fall on that, one way or another. But the weird thing is, enter Brian Flores, uh-huh. who after these quotes come out from Kenny Stills, what does he do during practice? He plays 8 straight Jay-Z songs.
Yeah.
8 straight Jay-Z songs.
And then told the team that it was a test for Kenny Stills.
But do we have him talking about why he did this?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, when he talks about, uh-huh. and I don't know if this is part of the clip that you have or not.
It is.
When he talks about growing up and that he relates to... And that as a kid, he grew up in he was singled out by police. He understands. I think he sounds very authentic there. I think that sounds like the issue does mean something to him. But when he talks about why he did it to test, is that part on there? Is this part of the clip too? Why he did it?
Yeah, I've got the full. I think
I think coaches are insane. Here's Brian Flores.
And after the playlist was done. What you guys don't know is, you know, I walked up to Kenny in front of the entire group and said, this is a challenge to you to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team, regardless of what's going on outside of this building.
Let's just stop it right there for a minute.
The next day, because...
Just stop it right there for a minute. That's crazy. That's literally, you know, this much means to him, and you're going to say, I'm going to play 8 straight Jay-Z songs at you?
Yeah, so, I was a little...
Isn't that just weird? To me, it's the same kind of weirdness that gets Matt Nagy says, kick from the 43-yard spot, like kick from the parky spot.
So I was...
What goes on in their brains? You were what?
I was a little woke on, okay, you know, no one loves Fitzmagic more than I do.
Uh-huh.
And I cherish every single second of it. But some of the comments he was making about Rosen, they were so strong.
Oh, he was throwing Rosen under the bus every single day.
Right. But I actually, I was sitting there because he has a defensive background. I go, I think this is like a football guy challenge to Rosen.
I think you're right. I think he's macho man. I think he's exactly right. I just think it's bizarre. I think you're right. I think it's a product of this, I'm going to throw everything
at you, yeah. Like the psychological
terrorism. To me, it's the same mindset, and I'm not accusing him of this. It's the same mindset that sort of, it's on the slippery slope to hazing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Like it's the culture of what, you know, I'm going to toughen you up by mentally torturing you.
Right.
And that's true whether it's a 43-yard line or whether it's playing Jay-Z at you. What in the world?
Right.
Now, he does go on, and I think he sounds, you know, more sympathetic as the clip goes on. But I just think the football coaches are crazy. Go ahead.
The next day, because you know, there was a lot more attention paid to this than I ever would have imagined, I got up in front of the team and I told them.
You didn't imagine there would be attention to play to this? Jay-Z.
He hits
Kenny.
Football
support,
guy bingo here.
The player protests. I mean, quite honestly, they're bringing attention to my story. So let's talk about that. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped because I fit a description before. So everything that these guys protest, I've lived it. I've experienced it. So... Yeah, I applaud those guys who protest. So, whether it's Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Kenny, I applaud those guys. I told Kenny that in our meeting, in front of the entire team.
Okay, to me the most telling part of that entire clip is this got more attention than I ever would have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you are living in a football.
No, he hit football
ridiculous
guy,
bubble.
He hit football guy bingo in that. He displayed his toughness. He displayed a lack of self-awareness. Like, I can't believe I can't believe this got this much attention. That the fact that you are taking this, like something that wouldn't be involved in this issue, and you think that that would not get
nine times.
That would not get attention. That is so misguided, and that's like so I live in football world bubble. Then he does my other personal favorite football guy move. Instead of answering the question directly, he kind of turns the question onto everyone else, and then
let's talk about my story.
Right, not that it's like
it's at least pseudo relevant to the issue. The fact that he does care about the issue is I think,
but
relevant.
It doesn't specifically and answer it, the question.
No, it's freaking nutty. Football coaches are absolutely crazy. I was driving around yesterday and listening to Jason and John, as I do. Mm-hmm. And what did I hear? I heard John talking about affordable blinds.
Ah.
And I said, oh, look at that. Now John is doing an affordable blinds commercial. And then it occurred to me, I think literally anyone who goes to affordable blinds, which John did, would probably be in the mood to start doing affordable blinds commercials. Like, there's a link there. Like, everyone who I've talked to, who I have sent to affordable blinds, basically calls me up, contacts me, as John did, and says they're fantastic, and basically tells me a affordable blinds commercial. Mm-hmm. And it's just in response to the service that they've gotten from affordable blinds, because they're not used to blind shades and shutters being affordable. They're not used to people being as unbelievably easy to work for as Chip Wiggins. They're not used to this kind of fast service. And so basically I hear affordable blinds commercials all the time from people just telling me how great they are. And I'm actually serious about that. The phone number 753-5822, 753-5822. Pop on over to their Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page. You can see what they're all about. Or their website, which is affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Again, give them a call, 753-5822, and then call me back with your own affordable blinds commercial. We got to take a break. Jason Smith coming up next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering wind from sea with a rollicking song to the wreck.
Join Jason and John tonight at the Rec Room for the 2019 92.9 FM ESPN Madden Tournament starting at 6:30 with drink specials, games, food, competition, and we will see who will win the 2019 trophy from 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, if you want a new car or truck, make sure you get it at the wholesale price. Come on out to Wholesale Unlimited today. Every car, truck, SUV is here. A red Jeep Wrangler or a white Jeep Wrangler. Nissan Rogue or Ford Explorer. Escalade or Yukon XL. Silverados, Rams, F-150, Mercedes, Infiniti, Lexus. Here's a yellow Camaro, a white Mustang convertible. All at Wholesale Unlimited on Pleasant View just off Covington Pike. You get unlimited choices and you only pay the wholesale price. That's why they call it Wholesale Unlimited. Don't worry about your credit score. Wholesale Unlimited has the best financing for you. Go to WUCars.com and look at them all. Or just Google Wholesale Unlimited Memphis. A little money goes a long way when you buy cars and trucks at wholesale prices. Come get what you really want to drive today. It's Wholesale Unlimited on Pleasant View just off Covington Pike. And tell them you heard about them on ESPN. You will thank me later.
The Australian Pink Floyd Show, All That You Love 2019 World Tour, featuring classics from Metal, The Dark Side of the Moon, and more. The Australian Pink Floyd Show, Saturday, August 31st at Horseshoe Casinos, Bluesville. The Times calls them the gold standard. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets. Ages 18 and up, must be 21 or older to gamble. Don't stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Looking for a fun place for lunch on Fridays? Join us for our 25-cent martini lunch. You can start with a bowl of chicken and sausage gumbo, braised short rib grilled cheese, or crispy Gulf seafood po' boys. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Amy, what brings you into the Xfinity store?
I heard a drum roll. What's the big announcement?
It's the Xfinity best deal of the year on internet and TV.
That deserves better. Give me the sticks.
But we're talking huge savings.
I heard that.
Plus even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile.
That calls for a little...
Amy?
Sometimes you gotta let the sticks take the wheel, you know?
Hurry in today. The Xfinity Best Deal of the Year ends September 5th. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get huge savings on internet and TV with the top four networks included for only $70 a month for 2 years with a two-year agreement. With 2 years of DVR service and 1 year of Showtime included. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. You could get $250 back. Don't miss it. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay. Restrictions apply. New extra TV and Blast internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After two-year agreement term and one-year Showtime promo, regular rates apply.
Hey, sweetie, it's Mom. I know you and Bobby have only been dating for 2 days, but I still think we should all celebrate. Oh, we can do margaritas at Chili's. They've got that fancy one of the month for $5, which is like just as many days as your last relationship. Funny, right? Oh, talk soon.
Come into Chili's now for our $5 margarita of the month. It's the perfect reason to catch up with friends or celebrate whatever. Together, we Chili's. Available at participating restaurants only. Prices may vary in Hawaii and Alaska. Must be 21 to consume alcohol. Drink responsibly.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Hurt? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You casually maneuver to snap a photo of the guy at the restaurant who looks just like that one celebrity from that movie, and your flash goes off. You couldn't save yourself from the embarrassment of doppelganger guy noticing your paparazzi pic.
Hey.
But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Oh.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Okay.
While your flash-happy smartphone has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Nice.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents in the award-winning Geico mobile app.
Ooh.
And while your impromptu photo shoot didn't go as planned, you could plan on saving more with help from your local Geico agent.
You couldn't save yourself from the shame of being outed by your camera flash, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith, host of the Jason and John Show, weekdays from 11 to 2. I know I listen, you should listen, and follow him on Twitter at JasonSmith9. Tonight, I have two topics I have to address with you right off the bat. One is I was out at Memphis football practice yesterday, and what struck me more than anything was Mike Norvell's gray hair.
I heard you talking about that.
And someone, Serena, tweeted at me, don't knock Coach Norvell's gray hair. He is rocking that look
yep.
and is definitely the best coach candy in the game today.
Ooh.
I want to clarify. I wasn't knocking gray hair. That would be
clearly,
dumb.
You,
I yeah. have the I have gray hair.
One of your
and
best features.
Indeed, when I was at the Supercuts recently, or wherever it was at Sport Clips, a woman said to me, the stylist said to me, people pay big money for that color.
Well, that color and that kind of, I mean, that kind of fullness.
And that too.
Let's
so,
be real.
So far from knocking it, I celebrate.
No, you
it.
Do.
I think actually, on Mike Norvell particularly, because he's a young coach, it looks kind of, distinguish when you're not old and you still have kind of cool gray hair, that's awesome. Is he the best eye candy in the game today?
Who, college football?
Is he? I've never thought about coaches in this category. The best coach candy and definitely the best coach candy in the game today.
Well, you're going to go somebody on the younger side. I mean, you're certainly going to go somebody in shape.
Side.
Like we're not, so that counts out Mike Leach. There's no Mike Leach in
right.
this, obviously.
I think we can safely say.
So you got
no Mike Leach here.
You got to go. You got to go toward the. I mean, Cliff just got out of the college football business and he's trying to prove himself now in the NFL
oh, yeah.
business. But Kingsbury was the guy.
He was the guy.
Maybe Mike Norvell inherits that.
Serena does now. She says I rock gray hair pretty darn well too. She doesn't call me columnist candy though.
Oh. She does say, I do rock gray hair pretty well.
I bet she'd say the same thing.
It looks very distinguished. That's you know, she goes distinguished instead of Coach Cam, instead of Columbus Cam.
A guy who I've always thought is just a silver fox, and I've talked about this before, a guy you know very well, Phil Stukenborg wears it well, as you know. I mean, the guy gets more handsome.
Shape. He is in shape.
He gets more handsome
by the moment.
You two are one of the same.
So, okay, that's one. And the second is these coaches. Let's start with Coach Nagy, your own personal football coach.
Yep, coach of the year.
And that's the thing. He's coach of the year. You can't really knock it, right? Isn't it kind of loony having people kick from the 43?
Well, yeah, that is. It seems like you're making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. Does it still need to be on the minds of your players and, more importantly, your kickers?
Of your kicker.
Yeah, more importantly, your kickers. And I guess we've gone with Eddie Pinheiro now. We'll see if he can hold it down. But you've made you've taken something that was a small part of last year, really it was the one thing that held us back, and you've overdone it.
Don't you say one guy doesn't lose a game? Isn't that what you say, one play doesn't lose a game? Like, that's the thing. I understand it's cliche to say that.
That's what you tell your player. I know, and that's what you tell the reporters, but you act like it. Yeah, I mean, that's not your actions say something differently.
You've made kickers the enemy.
And he's run nine through there, which seems a little bit ridiculous because you don't need that many, right, to figure it out, unless they're all just bad. But we came up with a couple of decent ones, and Pinheiro looks fine. To your point, though. Last week, I'm tuning in for Bears-Giants, expecting to see a little bit more Mitch Trubisky after he played one series in the first game, and he decides not to play the starters at all. And so, again, I'm used to a preseason, and look, I'm hoping we get to a shorter one, but I'm used to a preseason, I'm old school, where you ramp it up, right? And by third week, your dress rehearsal, fourth week. Tell me what the point of playing him one series first game is. Don't play him at all second game. Now, I'm expecting to obviously see more of him this weekend, but where's the ramp up? I mean, it just seems like sometimes it's – you know, the plan's just whatever he comes up with that day. And so, but to that point, like we started, he's coach of the year, so I have to kind of sit back and hope and have faith.
Brian Flores is not coach of the year.
That one was ridiculous.
He played Jay-Z at Kenny Stills 8 straight times and said he did it to toughen him up. And
he
had no idea that it was going to get this kind of attention. Your thoughts?
Ridiculous. I mean, and screams of guy who can't handle the head coaching position
he's in right now. Who's not that bright?
Because if
that's going to cause attention, you've
Stills
got some...
and Jay-Z have been a story for the last 2-3 weeks. Ever since Jay-Z partnered with the NFL, Stills has been all over it. Has criticized Jay-Z for sort of swooping in here and leaving the guys that kind of started this movement behind.
Do you, by the way, think that's a fair criticism?
I think it's an absolutely fair criticism, especially when you hear from Jay-Z that you didn't talk to Colin Kaepernick before you did this. What do you mean? Well, of course you'd go to the originators of this thing.
What was the right thing to do?
I'll get into that. First thing, how would Flores not know?
How would he not know?
Any talk of this, you've played Jay-Z 8, and this is to motivate him to catch the ball, to run better routes, and to be tougher? You didn't think that was going to be a story, bro? Like, you got to get better. You got to be better at your job. That was a mistake. And so I think he knew that, and that's part of the reason why. And again, he's genuine about this, but he turns those questions onto himself. Right. Now, listen, I'm with the movement, so don't get me wrong on this.
It's relevant, but it was
also clearly a way to deflect things because I think he knew he had made a mistake. Just your judgment, period, as a head coach, right there. Right. You got to know that's a story.
Secondly,
if you're already using tricks like that in your first year to motivate a guy, that's what you need to do, right? You can't just pull him in the office and talk to him. Screams of trouble already. Like, you're again.
I'm going to do gimmicks as opposed
you
to just
do
relate
gimmicks.
To people.
Exactly, and that to me is a red flag. But you're already having to go down that road this early to motivate guys.
How do you think Penny is on that? By the way, that the day to day molding of motivating, connecting with players.
I think it's one of his greatest strengths. Like you've gone from the last two coaches who struggled with that, right? And maybe Tubby was definitely better at it because Tubby could get a guy to do what he wanted to do. He'd maximize what he had. His weakness was recruiting.
Actually, yes.
All right. So with Penny though, you know, and maybe the one case where you could say
Kevin?
Yes. Last year.
What did he do? He threw him under the bus. When?
Well, Peter Edmiston was asking him about just coaching Kevin.
Right.
And Penny, just in his, you know, genuine self, the way he does.
Direct way.
Says, look, it's been up and down with this kid. Basketball's not his first love,
that's right.
Remember?
Right.
I mean, he broke him down.
First, right.
And I think, again, that's a situation where.
A little too honest.
Because I think we think that Kevin kind of checked out there toward the end of the season.
Right.
And so if there's anything you can do to keep a kid checked in, period. But that said, I think this is Penny's greatest strength.
Well,
I think relating to guys, that staff, that's their greatest strength.
You look what he did with Jeremiah, right?
Give me a break. That guy believed he was Superman by the end of the year. And that's part of coaching, getting a kid to reach his maximum potential we didn't even think he had.
It was interesting that's to me because having – when Boogie Lyles was explaining to the young kid from the Bahamas how
– Ellis. Who is Lyles?
Boogie Ellis. I'm sorry. I keep saying Boogie Lyles.
But that's a former
Boogie
Tiger, though,
former
we found
Tiger,
out. Okay.
So I say Boogie and I just triggers
anyway,
my head.
Go ahead.
Boogie Lyles.
You messed me up, but I'm back.
But when Boogie Ellis was explaining to kid in the Bahamas how great Penny was when he was saying, look at that guy. He's better than Kyrie. He was better than Kyrie.
Yeah.
He said, who's your favorite player? Kyrie. He was better than Kyrie. That's kind of cool, but it also shows to me the regard that the players have for Penny.
There's no question.
And as he sorts out this thing in minutes and everything else, that will obviously, people will have resentments will creep in. But I think that demonstrates, A, they come in with high regard for Penny, and fundamentally, like, you haven't seen much grumbling from anyone.
This is Penny is, I think, on a way to being – he's on his way. Hopefully it doesn't change. Hopefully for him and for this program it doesn't change. But to being sort of in that Cal Coach K mode where you're not questioned on those things, right?
Right.
You're so respected that you're not questioned on those things. You do that at Memphis, right? And you guys start, you know, if you've got a coach, right, who can't get the kids, you know, to basically to be stop listening to all those folks talking to you. Fall in line here. K and, I mean, again, I make the point of Wendell Carter saying after his Duke career, hey, man, I could have done so much more if I hadn't been in that Duke system, his father and him saying it, but you fall in line while you are there. And I think right now, and particularly with his background, with that staff, and them sort of being, look, the gatekeepers to, look, we're going to have a pro day here. Scouts are coming in. We can make you look real good here in front of the NBA. I think you sort of have that respect. I've always said it's got to be, for a coach, fear, respect, but you've got to find some way, right, to where those players don't question you, right?
Well,
at least not initially, at least through the adversity.
It goes back to Nika, back to Flores, who it's, in the end, you have to authentically connect or motivate players.
And maybe he was trying to do that.
It was no, but I think this is gimmicky, but inauthentic.
It screams of gimmicky.
In a weird way, it was off. It's sort of Pastner-esque. Now, Josh wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do this sort of mental cruelty thing at all.
Yeah.
But it always felt like Josh was reading gimmicks out of Coaching 101 book that he read in seventh grade, right?
Yep.
And memorized it.
Yep.
And it's a little bit like that. This is like gimmick, I'm going to play Jay-Z at him kind of thing.
And,
weird.
And for Flores in that locker room, here's my thing. He's been preaching, right, that he respects Still's right to kneel, but he's also been preaching, we're a team. You know, he's not kneeling. He's trying to get, you know, he keeps preaching that. And yet you take a personal item, right, Stills' criticism of this whole thing, right, which you said needs to be, you've taken that, and in a team setting, use that to try to motivate him.
I would, if I was
Who's
Stills,
gonna buy
if
that
I
in
was
that
Stills,
locker room?
I'd be saying F you behind his back. I'd be saying F that guy.
Look, Stills, I thought his quotes were like, well, we handle it man-to-man, and he's just trying to motivate. I was surprised that Stills fell in like that. And maybe Flores did a good job of saying, you know what, I made a mistake in there, let's do it like this, but – I'm with you. If I'm Stills, man, I'm done. And this is the way you try to motivate
me? That's
what
I would be
saying. Yeah, so anyway.
Okay, on to the point that we skipped over briefly.
Sure.
Did you think Jay-Z handled it the wrong way?
I appreciate what Jay-Z's trying to do. Let me say that first, right? You're trying to get the message more out there. There was a disconnect, obviously, between the NFL and the hip-hop, you know, a black entertainer community, period. You were having people turning down the Super Bowl. Why? Because of the movement, because of the way they felt the NFL, you know, sort of treated that movement, the way they treated Colin Kaepernick. That said, I'm surprised that he would go about it this way. I'm surprised that Jay-Z, who says he's down with the movement, look, I believe you are, you say you are, you put your money in it. How did you not reach out to Colin Kaepernick and say, this is what I'm going to do, and I want you to be a part of it? Colin, I'd love for you, you know, if he's really feeling that, Colin, I'd love for you to be on an NFL team right now. Looks like right now, and you're working out, we'll see. We'll go talk to Goodell, see about that. But if we can't get that, which, you know, at this point, I don't think Colin Kaepernick right now, being out, what, 3 years now?
Right.
If we can't get that, I want you to be this in this movement. I want you to be the director of this with Goodell in the room.
Right.
An NFL position, right? Part of the reason Kaepernick didn't get another chance back, we all know, is because owners were scared of the PR, right? The hit they were going to take. This becomes the story. Camp and everything else is out the window. Football's out the window. You brought Kaepernick back, right? That's part of it. So, but if you put him in a job, right, where he's not on one of the how much
there's
of a PR hit?
None.
That maybe
zero.
Is a day from these folks. You know,
not
the folks
all.
That want to criticize
right.
this. Maybe you get that for a day. So again, the smart move would have been to have Kaepernick in those meetings with Goodell. I'm sure Goodell would have done it. And you at least offer the opportunity to Kaepernick to be a part of this. If he turns it down, that's his thing. Because he wants to get back in the league. He's still working out. That's what his focus
right.
is, right? Sure. But you offer him a chance to be a part of the movement. You don't do this without him. He started it. And so for a Stills that wants to come in and make the fair argument that it looks like Jay-Z, you swooped in here. Get everybody paid. Yeah, you may want to get the message out, but you're the one benefited from. What about these guys? That argument is a fair one. You know, you throw that out the window if you include the originator of this entire thing. It didn't make any sense to me from Jay-Z's
standpoint. What do you say about the argument that, oh, yeah, well, what's going to happen is Jay-Z's going to buy a team, and then he's going to give Colin Kaepernick a job
as quarterback.
He's
been out 3 years. What, Kaepernick, is he Rip Van Winkle? I mean, is he going to stay the same age? We're going to put him in a cryo chamber or something? No, I mean, that's happening anytime soon.
It's ridiculous.
So, again,
and beyond that, honestly, well, first of all, yes, it's in order for him to buy a team and then give Kaepernick
that
a job
will
take forever. And he's already, as you point out.
At least a couple years. You're 3 years out. We're talking about 5 years
yeah. so
at the earliest.
So it's ridiculous. And then second, that's not how Kaepernick would want a job anyway. Like, because what? You got the black owner. Now he's going to give a job. That's tokenism.
Right.
And so no. But the other thing isn't tokenism to include him in a position in the movement because he's the one who started the movement. There's nothing tokenism about that.
Don't make any
to
sense.
Start the originator.
Doesn't make any
it.
Sense. So I mean, it's like, you know, having a sit down about, you know, in the middle of the civil rights movement and not having, you know, not having Martin Luther King there. Now again, I'm not saying
right.
Kaepernick is Martin
right,
Luther
right,
King,
right.
but I'm saying you're going to have someone at the center of that thing. And if this is all genuine, you really mean it. How do you go about that? What kind of planning is that? What were you doing? I like what Jay-Z is doing. You want to keep the message out there. Now you've sort of closed this bridge, this gap again that was, you know, it's getting wider and wider between black folks in the NFL, especially black entertainers. You've helped close it. Maybe not, though. There's been a lot of backlash with him. But, again, how are you not thinking about the guy who started it or at least talking to him in this whole process?
All right. So Memphis basketball recruiting, you had Kennedy Chandler's father
Colin Chandler.
Yesterday. And he pointed out, my favorite part of it was that that he's playing with Cissé.
It was my favorite part, too.
He played with him the night before,
and
they were going to play last night, too, right?
He gave us a great detail, too, that it was at Norton Hurd's gym, team that program director and coach. We're going to have Norton Hurd on at 1, maybe get a little bit more scoop. So it's like, you're kind of saying you'd love for Cissé and Kennedy Chandler to get to feeling like, man, they're a 1-2 punch that's got to go to the same school, wouldn't you? I mean, you're talking about the same class. You're talking about two guys now in the top 20 nationally. Kennedy Chandler's risen up to 18 over at ESPN. Moose is a top 10. No, they won't play at the same high school. Moose will be at Lausanne.
Right.
As far as Kennedy Chandler ain't leaving Briarcrest, just won a state title there. But the fact that the idea that those two could really start liking them, Dad liked the idea
like
of it, too. And because you know.
It's funny how this whole.
Penny's going to need bigs.
Right.
He'd be crazy not to recruit Moose Cissé. I'm sure he will. And what better pulling? Hey, don't y'all like playing together? And maybe that's your way to. Colin Chandler, too, and you get two instead of one.
It is amazing how this players recruit players thing clearly an NBA deal, and it's a college deal, too, now, and they come in clusters.
Yep.
And
it's the way to roll.
If you have them right in this city already forming a relationship,
it's the way to roll.
We can do this together. It's just fantastic.
You let them do the – you let them do a great deal of the recruiting for you. And it was interesting to find out, too, that this isn't – you know, that Kennedy Chandler and Moussa didn't just meet this week. They've known each other for a while, have obviously
right.
had a relationship texting. Like I say, you know, the high-level players, they meet all each other on the AAU circuit, all that kind of thing, but now they get a chance to play together, and you got to know, when they're taking a blow, you got to think that at some point Penny Hardaway's name comes up, and the idea that, hey, man, what if we both went to Memphis? I mean, that's what players do.
His name doesn't just come up.
I mean,
don't you think at bottom, let me ask you this, don't you think at bottom that Penny is the reason that Moussa Cissé is in town? Why do you think he's in town?
Why do I think he's in town?
Why do you think he's in town?
I have no idea who's pulled the strings. You got a lot of people involved. Again, he's at Norton Hurd's gym.
Right.
Norton Hurd and Penny used to be former competitors.
Enemies, right?
Yes.
Rivals.
So I think there's, again, and I'm not telling you Norton Hurd's at the center of this. I think there's a lot of sort of hands on this, and we're all trying to get a grasp of sort of that. Sort of who made this happen? That's what people really want to know. And they want to know if it was Penny Hardaway. You can't sit here and say today that Penny Hardaway as a college coach got that kid to move down here. There's no
evidence.
You can't connect
of it.
The dots.
Well,
you can't connect
you,
the dots.
If you want to, you can. There's nothing to connect them except for dot here.
Right. Well, what are the dots in
why
between
else?
Is what you would have to.
We don't know what they
in
are.
In our
yes.
world, we have to have
you
some.
You certainly can't legally connect them, but
does
you
it?
Can. You can. I guess I assume that Penny has something to do with it. Don't you assume he has something to do with it?
I don't assume he's got something to do with it.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. You can look at it as, my gosh, why would a kid from New York transfer in?
How did Scal end up at Los Angeles?
Transferring over from ECS.
I know, but why? Because Gerald Hamilton.
Yeah, because Gerald didn't like what was going down at ECS. Sounded like to me they'd been asking for a lot
Scal
from ECS
ultimately.
Over
who
the years. ECS got tired of it.
Who represented Scal?
Gerald Hamilton.
No, but who was his agent?
Travis King, right?
Who's Penny's agent?
Travis, I think. You might want to check on this. Travis?
No, and both Lausanne kids.
Cam, he was campaign's agent.
No, both Lausanne kids. Yeah, was he?
Campaign was. I thought you were talking about another Lausanne kid. NBA
was he
had
also Travis
King
agent?
To start. We just had Cam on. He no longer is represented by Travis, he told us. Is Travis still Penny's agent?
I mean,
agent?
I got no idea. He was when Giannato did the story on his recruit. When Giannato did the story on Rudd and back when I was at the CA, when he did a story on Rudd and how the Penny thing came together, he quoted Travis extensively.
I've wondered if he still was.
I don't know the answer.
But when I saw Travis in the Bahamas, I assumed that, you know what, he must still be represented.
Did you see Travis?
Yes, he was in the Bahamas doing the Facebook Live just like everybody else was. So that's when I came back.
Was he live streaming?
But I do not know for sure.
Was he live streaming?
Yeah, he had it on for a little while. But you can go on his Facebook page, all that. Travis was down there in Bahamas watching Tigers. I figured, oh, well, must be. You know, you don't get rid of an agent. The agent's down there watching you in the Bahamas.
Right.
He must still be his agent. But, so to my understanding, not sure on that, but I think.
Well, it's an entertaining time. And what it suggests is that, and Cal has proven this, you can have great talent and not have a sensational year. But if you have great talent again and again and again, you're going
to
have a series
to the NBA.
You're going to have a series of successful. You're going to have, that's
they're
what
in on Jalen Green for 20. They're going to be on Musa Cisse and Kennedy Chandler for 21. This there are no signs anytime that this is going to stop anytime soon. He's in position.
It is nuts, isn't it?
Yes.
In the best way possible. So today on the show, you have Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
What are you going to ask him?
Are you doing this from a hotel bed? Because it sounds like he will
the
be.
Fairfield Inn.
I heard you. He's getting his Marriott points in.
He's getting his Marriott points.
And apparently overlooks the practice field over at Liberty and could have died, basically, if they hadn't caught this staph infection. So we'll have Hugh Freeze have Tom Hart talk
about
SEC football.
Do you wish Hugh Freeze well? I do. I do.
Well, I hold no grudges against Hugh Freeze.
I guess I miss, unless someone is really evil, like murders, I wish them all well. As someone who is eminently human myself, I hope people do better.
As someone who is always talking about forgiveness and the power of it, I want to ask him what that's been like in terms of family, in terms of the people that trust him beforehand. Have they been, has it been,
here's the problem,
has
though.
It come
when,
back,
when
or
you,
has
when
it
you
been
get
genuine?
That,
like,
you
what
get,
have you learned about that?
Here's the problem.
I'm always caught up in that.
When you get that answer from him, there will be people out there who will say this is just more Hugh Freeze BS. Of course he's going to talk about forgiveness.
There are always those people there. They were, you know, those people.
But those people were right when they were calling him a hypocrite before.
Well, it turns out they turned out to be right. But what we all find, and
those
people would find it too, is that we all fall short, Jeff. Like, who are we? You know what I'm saying?
Certainly
the job
am
he was doing, the cheating, whatever, all that. We can, you know, but we all certainly fall short. There. Why would you continue to root against him though? The man's had his fall.
No,
right.
No,
for those that rooted against him, oh, you're fake, all that. Well, there's the fall. Why don't you back off and see what happens next then?
Do you
still
year?
Praise God when you're down on the bottom like you did when you were up on the top? Maybe that'll determine too whether you're real genuine with this. Probably that's all you got when you're at the bottom, right? That's usually when you kick it in.
Right. And I'm not analogizing, by the way, Doug Barron at all to Hugh Freeze in the slightest, except to this extent. The story that I wrote about Doug Barron earlier in the week.
Yep.
It's about people changing, right? And he would say that as his wife Leslie said, he had a real heart change. And it happened to be Christians. He said, but she said that
he had to let God change his heart. Yep. It didn't just but by all, if you heard his interview with us, whenever it was, Doug broke down and said, I had to just work on myself. So anytime I see someone like that,
right,
who does seem to have changed,
right,
there are those people who tell you it's impossible to change when you reach it. And
God's going to judge that man and his family more important, more than us, right? That's who this all matters to, right, his wife and those daughters of his. Right? Us and piling on, what's the point of that?
No, yeah.
Let's see if you can win them all back.
Jason, I look forward to the show. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Jeffrey, on that score, that's the issue with you, Freeze, isn't it? Is that people are going to say this is more blather. Like, I'm sure he'll talk about forgiveness and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know? I guess it doesn't matter if it's genuine. You just hope it's genuine, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, does it matter if it's genuine or not? I mean,
well, yes, in the end, it you hope it's genuine.
He's a football coach. I think Hugh would find more success professionally if he would remember that he's paid millions of dollars to be a football coach.
Yeah, but he rode this thing to, well, A, if he really does believe that,
mm-hmm,
good for him. Like, I got good for him. And sure, then he rode it to quite some success.
Agreed.
I mean, he wrote it to, I don't know, what was his deal at the end at Ole Miss for him? It didn't, his openly expressed Christianity,
mm-hmm,
got him a $4 million deal. It didn't,
no,
but I mean,
it got him a,
how much is the deal? How big was the deal?
In the end, he was making $5.5 million.
He's making $5.5 million.
Yeah, I think
he
left 28, yeah.
What's he getting at Liberty, do we know?
It's because Liberty's a private school, they don't have to release
right
it, but it's thought to be around $1.5 million.
That's not a bad fallback job.
Heck no. That's the point.
It's not a bad fallback job. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, that's the thing. I think the year that his best coaching job, his very first year at Ole Miss, that was an okay team, but it wasn't a great team, particularly up front on the offensive line. He basically had 5 offensive linemen. And it helped that Arkansas had Petrino and the motorcycle incident. So Arkansas was a mess that year. And then that was also the year that Auburn absolutely combusted last year of Chizik. And he took advantage of that. Then he beats Mississippi State, goes to a bowl game. But I felt like that was the year that he was most focused on being a football coach. And then I think after that, he started focused on being a celebrity. And I think you can start to see a downturn in the way that his teams looked.
Right.
Like, his least talented team, top to bottom, was probably that team. Well, that team did have some good defensive players that the last team did not have.
Okay. I do want to tell you that Oak Hall is, they got all new stuff in there. I am right now. I did the dunk tank. I did the dunk tank yesterday. I did the dunk tank last night for the plunge to expunge. And I showed up there, and I was immediately asked, you don't want to go into the dunk tank wearing that beautiful shirt, do you? And the answer is no. I changed into a Just City shirt. But see, people didn't used to say that to me because I didn't used to dress like that. But now,
you're wearing your dunk clothes, huh?
Thanks to Oak. I did not dunk in Oak Hall clothing.
Exactly.
Although I'm sure that they are high quality enough that they would
The fabric would just absorb that moisture.
Exactly. It would wick it away.
It would just
wick it away. I actually really do like what I'm wearing right now is a Peter Millar, mm-hmm, high performance,
yes,
type of
the Southern Comfort, but it's like the knit type.
And I'll
absorbs
be honest,
so much sweat.
Now
great
that,
golf shirt.
Now that I wear this, when I wear a cotton shirt,
I know. It feels so.
I feel like I'm wearing a fleece. Like I feel like I'm on 92 degree wearing a fleece.
Yes.
It has changed, literally, forget how I look. It has changed how I feel.
Exactly.
Because this thing is like, it's light, it's gorgeous, it's light, and it kind of wicks away. You walk through the summer, blistering summerness, and I understand cotton this is a cotton town. And they've got beautiful cotton shirts too.
For sure.
They've got beautiful cotton shirts too. But this is
I feel like I'm wearing a fleece. Like when I'm walking out there in 95 degree temperature and I don't have this kind of shirt on, I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
That shirt,
I'm going to go in and put on a Peter Millar shirt.
That shirt that you're wearing is my standard Memphis hot, humid golf shirt.
And they have all the fall stuff in there too now. But like, this is the point, is that they change the way you look, they change the way you feel. Go in and see my friends at O'Call. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us. And we will talk about a few things. The NBC Sports is counting down their top 50 players for the next 5 years, 10 years. What is it?
Five, I believe.
In 5 years, we'll continue that. And ESPN's doing some preview stuff, too. And we'll tell you, by the way, where they have the Grizzlies picked. It is not high in the West. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, back in a moment, 92.9 from ESPN.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering wind from sea with a rollicking song to the Rec Room in Memphis.
Join Jason and John tonight at the Rec Room for the 2019 92.9 FM ESPN Madden Tournament starting at 6:30 with drink specials, games, food competition, and we will see who will win the 2019 trophy. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.